Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for taking the time to join me today on the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. And I would like to begin by sharing a passage of Scripture found in the Gospel of Luke, the 8th chapter, verses 22 through 25. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, "Let us go over unto the other side of the lake." And they launched forth, but as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him and saying, "Master, Master, we perish." Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, "Where is your faith?" And Jesus asked this question to a group, his disciples, of in many cases, seasoned fishermen, and they were afraid. Now, the Lake of Galilee can be a very tumultuous lake. All of a sudden, it can be whipped by winds, and the waves rise, and it had to be a very severe storm for them to be afraid. But he asked them a question, and he's asking us today, where is your faith? Jesus said, "When I come again, will I find faith on the earth?" And we have been given, beloved, a weapon so powerful, it is able to defeat every attack of Satan. And this weapon enables us to face any situation and come forth victorious. And I'm talking about faith. The gift of faith. Now, the gift of faith, of course, is one of the nine gifts of the Spirit, but God has given to every man a measure of faith. And so he is, the Scripture tells us, the author. He's the originator of our faith and the finisher, the perfecter. And so I have found over the years that many Christians, when they're going through difficult situations or heavy trials and battles, they pray and it seems like what they're asking isn't forthcoming, and they're in confusion and they're in doubt and they're upset, and that's, oh, surely, and even some preaching, and it's like, well, you just don't have the faith. It's a faith failure. Well, beloved, I do believe that God would be unjust. He would not be a God of love if he would require of you to go through a situation that you did not have the resources to come through victoriously. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So obviously, no matter how you feel, no matter what the devil tells you or what other people tell you, you have the faith to handle whatever situation you are in right now through the help, through the graciousness, through the goodness, and through the anointing of the Lord that he is giving to you. But the point is, we think it depends on our faith. And if it's a matter of our faith, well, what can, you know, our own strength is not very reliable, that's certain. But the faith God has given, it's his faith, and it's his anointing. It's God working in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. The Bible states, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And in another place, we're told this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And it's impossible to have victory in our lives without faith. We come into the family of God. We're birthed into the kingdom through faith, through responding to the Holy Spirit's conviction to say, yes, Lord. We may have different words in our prayers, but nonetheless, we are coming to the foot of the cross and we're asking for forgiveness of our sins. We're asking for fellowship and relationship with the Lord, and God hears that sincere heart's cry. As we read these verses of Scripture, we find the men with Jesus were his disciples, that passage I shared in Luke, the 8th chapter, when that vicious storm and violent storm arose on the Sea of Galilee. And they were in the presence, the very presence of the Son of God. They were lacking in faith. They were, in a sense, exercising a negative faith. Their faith, truly, was in their senses, in the appearance of the wind and the waves tossing their little boat. And in a negative sort of way, they were saying they had more faith in the wind and sea than they had in Jesus. Now, it was a serious situation. The Bible says they were in jeopardy. But in reality, their faith was misplaced. They were looking at their immediate circumstances through the eyes of the natural man. They were friends, they were followers of Jesus, but their hearts failed them for fear, and their faith was reduced to servitude to the appearances rather than to Christ. How can faith be misplaced? Beloved, your faith can be misplaced. My faith can be misplaced when it is put under the circumstances instead of the circumstances being put under our faith. Our faith is misplaced when we put it in a human agency. The reason we should not put our faith in any human person, in any relationship, is told us in 1 Corinthians 2, 1 and 5. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with the excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Man can say yes to God, or they can say no. Faith is so terribly misplaced when we limit God. Think about what the Scriptures tell us. You know, that the Old Testament examples were given for our exhortation, that we could learn from their mistakes, and they turned back from following God. They limited God. That's what the Scripture said. In David stated in Psalm 78:41, yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. What did Israel do? Two things. They turned back and they limited God. I know many people might think it is impossible to limit God, but think about this. The truth is, we have a choice. We can release God's best in our lives by our faith, or we can limit God through our unbelief. Think about it. Just think about it. It rests in your hands what you choose to do, what your will decides. Our infinite God being limited? Think about that. The devil can't limit God. The earth can't limit God. The heavens can't limit God. The angels can't limit God. Only man is able to limit God. Limit him, not from his omnipotent power, of course, but to limit him from working in our lives to bring about his greatest good for us. This one without beginning of days or ending of years, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, eternal, can be limited by man, by our choice, by our free will. We can say no, or we can say yes to God. I pray that you say yes. No man can seek God's face and through his divine grace become God's friend and walk uprightly before him and glorify his mighty name. We can do that. We can choose to be God's friend, or We can be as Cain. We can rebel against God, offer protest against God, turn our backs on God, and miss the way to eternal life. We can refuse to be saved. We can refuse to be blessed. God sends no one to hell. It's a choice every individual makes, because although we may not understand the details, I trust God in His justice, because He sent Jesus to die for every man, every woman, every human being who's ever lived. He gives them an opportunity, and I believe He does not allow them to be banished to the horrors of hell without giving them a full opportunity at some point in their lives to receive the Lord. And He does not force. He gently convicts. He woos. But ultimately, it's our decision. I was recently talking to a friend, and I said, you know, if you had a wonderful estate, and you were quite wealthy, and you had all manner of wonderful things, beautiful landscape, and wonderful buildings, and it was just a vast, luxurious place, and you invited friends to come, and they found one excuse after another, and no matter what you said or however you tried to cajole them and to entice them and to encourage them to come and just experience your hospitality, they continually refused. What would you do? You know, you can't force someone to come to your home. So it is with our God. And because of man's repeated refusal, then He allows them to have the fruit of their choice. Man can rebel against God. He can offer protest. He can turn his back on God and miss the way to eternal life. We can refuse to be saved. We can refuse to be blessed. But that is not God's will and desire for us. I pray that you will understand that what you do today, aligning your with God, your will with God, is the most important thing that you can do. Father, we ask that you will help us to do that at all times and in all ways, that we will delight to do your will. Oh my God, yea, your law is within our hearts. Hallelujah. Well, there's so much to share, and I just feel the sweet presence of the Holy Spirit. He is so gentle. He's so long-suffering. He's so patient with us. Aren't you amazed at God's long-suffering and patience with you? Sometimes I think we're so dense, we just don't get things. And after sometimes many years of serving Him, we finally begin to get the basics down. Anyway, I love you, and I pray for you, and I invite you, if you have prayer needs, write, or if you're being blessed by the broadcast, it's always good to hear from new members of my listening audience, and I appreciate encouragement as well. Thank you for joining me. The announcer will give our contact information, and until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh,